Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
I should say something funny here. Like a joke goes here.
Today we're going to be talking about the seventh and final serial of the fifth season of Doctor Who. I almost said Fury in Space.
Fury in Space!
No, the Wheel in Space, which consists of six episodes that aired from April 27th, 1968 to June 1st, 1968. Four of the six episodes are missing. Only episodes three and six fully exist.
Those were some Joe facts.
Joe facts!
Anything we need to talk about what's going on in our lives?
We are officially caught up on New Who, and once we make it back around to nine, we'll have watched
everything.
All of Doctor Who. Assuming that we keep up in the meantime.
We're not caught up entirely on spinoffs, though. I mean, I am, except for Torchwood. I haven't seen the last season of Torchwood. And I think Class just started, didn't it?
Did Class start?
I think so.
I bet it's great.
But yeah, we've watched The Husband's River Song, so we are caught up with the main series.
We did it.
And we're done. Bye. It was good.
The we end. Had a good run.
Let's just dive right in. Let's talk about Fury. No, god damn it. Let's talk about The Wheel in Space. Episode 1, Spaceballs, the original. This episode is missing. You're not cool with Spaceballs? The original.
The bit is that I don't like any of your titles.
The credits start, and it's like, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? And then there's Patrick
That's
Troughton.
How it starts, yeah.
And then there's Patrick Troughton's face in space.
Face
and
in
then
space.
It shows the title in the credits, which is new.
Actually, it's old. They haven't done it for a while.
But they show a top in space. That's what it looks like. It looks like a top. It doesn't look like a wheel.
It's circular.
Yeah, it's basically a space station. The original title for this serial, by the way, another Joe fact for you.
Joe facts!
The Space Wheel. I'm not even joking. That was the original title. They changed it to The Wheel in Space.
Who sat down and went, no, I don't like Space Wheel.
We need to put an N in there.
That's it. That's the ticket. That's the one. What pedantic motherfucker.
Happens a lot. They will take, like, something that's like the blank blank and turn it into the blank of blank or the blank in blank.
I wonder why.
Because four words are better than three.
Okay, so we get the whole recap of last episode
of
Victoria's gone, which she's in the recap at the beginning, which is just footage from the last episode. Victoria is, and she's still credited in the end credits.
But they land and the scanner turns on and it's cycling through like a bunch of different video. There's like a waterfall and I don't know. And the waterfall's the only one I can currently remember. Just like nice, pleasant places.
But inconsistent.
Yeah, like one of them it's nighttime and one of them it's day. And they're like, what? What's happening? How did it just go from day to night? And the doctor's like, oh, we aren't at any of these places. It's just showing us things. The TARDIS is just like, here are some nice things. Go there instead. Don't stop here. It's bad here. Go to the beach. Go see a nice
that
waterfall.
That seems kind of out of character
for the
TARDIS.
The TARDIS has never been one to be like, it's dangerous here. Don't go here. The TARDIS is normally like, hey, people need you here. So I brought you here.
Maybe she was just warning him that this was going to be kind of a boring serial.
It was okay.
It's not a great finale, that's for sure.
But it has Zoe in it.
It has Zoe, but what else has it got going for it? Anything interesting?
It's got Zoe in it.
So yeah, the doctor's like, it's showing us temptations and trying to lead us away from danger. But they're like, we're gonna go check it out anyway.
Heading away from danger, that's not our style.
But before that happens, though, like, before they even get out, like, stuff goes bad in the TARDIS. Things get smoky.
Parts of the TARDIS are overheating, and he basically has to shut it down.
He opens up one of the round things.
I got so excited! There's stuff in the round things!
And he takes out, does a thing with a rod. He takes this rod out, which
the rod has a name. The rod's important.
It's like a gun, the gun thing, right? I don't remember what it's called. Just call it the rod thingy. That's what I'm going to call
it. No, it's an important... It's like, it does a lot of things that the sonic screwdriver currently does.
We got the sonic last...
Yeah, but the sonic screwdriver right now is a screwdriver that removes screws sonically. It's still very much what it says on the tin and right. less of a magic wand, which is what this thing was in this episode. Also, the piece that, the little bit of the TARDIS that the doctor, the first doctor, like, emptied out and was like, oh, it's Mercury. That is out of Mercury now. For real this time. We checked. He was being for real. He was not lying. And the doctor says something, like, he shuts it down in a way where he's like, it's just a police box on the inside now.
Right, yeah, it's like the relative dimension thing or whatever. It's just, it's the same on the inside, which we don't actually see. Or maybe we do because it's missing.
Yeah, we don't see much.
Is it necessary to do that? I don't.
Well, my question was like, how do you turn it back on from the outside?
I don't know.
I mean, it's not a problem. He does, you know, at the end, when they go to fix it. They fix it and it's not a problem.
Has that ever happened ever again?
I don't know.
I mean, there was that one episode with Nine where it was a police box. There's a lot of stuff happening right at the top of this episode that is not important. It's interesting ideas, but none of it really goes anywhere.
The TARDIS is broken just because otherwise they wouldn't stay there. Like, happens in Doctor Who. Classic Who, really. Jamie's thirsty, but it's something really important that I remember.
And the doctor gives Jamie some candy to help with his thirst.
It's like a hard candy. Yeah. I just got excited because I was like, look, the doctor's giving candy to people. That's the thing I know he does.
It's a precursor to jelly babies?
Jelly babies, yeah. Yeah, he just has like the little like paper bag, and I was like, that feels so right.
But they exit out onto this rocket, and they're like, it's quiet. It's too quiet. And they find some tracks that lead to a locked control room. So they're going to try to look around and figure out how to get into that locked control room. Jamie finds some water, drinks it. And then we get a robot that we never actually see for real.
For real? Because it's so cute. Because it is a reconstruction that we were watching. Was that design based on something that we know that they look like? Because they were the cutest things I've ever seen in my life. They were little wobbly toasters. And they were so cute.
We had like a CGI reconstruction, so it's like a little CGI robot.
They moved in a nice way.
That's what the robots look like.
They are based on production. It's basically like a toaster with legs and a bucket head. That's what these robots looked like. And it looks so friendly.
It looks like a mini fridge with arms.
I think that's what it is.
It's really adorable.
I loved it a lot, and I wish that it existed. Pretty much any robot design is going to get me. But this one was small, so I liked it especially.
And wobbly.
Well,
we don't know if it was wobbly, but...
It was animated in a way that made it more endearing.
Which is good, because otherwise we would just be staring at a picture of a robot.
Like, I bet that's neat.
Because all it does is walk around. It doesn't talk or anything. I'm guessing this is a Cyberman? I mean, not a Cyberman robot, but I mean... I was about to say, does it belong to the Cybermen? But the Cybermen sort of hijacked this rocket, didn't they?
I mean, yes, they did hijack the rocket. So
spoilers,
I think
Cybermen this cereal.
I think it might belong to the rocket, but yes, is working for the Cybermen.
Yeah, but it's not like a Cyberman thing
robot.
Originally.
It's not really addressed, to be honest. So yeah. That's a good guess.
I mean, I think it's implied later that they sort of reprogrammed it to do things or something. But this craft that they're on, this rocket, is just drifting aimlessly in space where there's going to be a wheel later. And so they're like, there's no crew, there's nothing.
So, yes, Jamie is, then we should just go. We should just go back. He can't remember Time Vector Generator, which is what the thing is called. And so he's like, just take your rod, just stick your rod back in there and let's go. And I giggled a lot.
Because you're nine.
Because Jamie's telling him where to stick his rod.
What's wrong with you? They can't find any mercury on board, because who just carries around mercury?
Why hasn't the doctor learned?
But now that Jamie's thirst is quenched, he's hungry now for roast beef. Because the doctor's like, what would you like? And he's just like, roast beef with all the fixins.
And then he's like, all right, I'll see what I can do. And I get really excited because, guys, I love space food. And I love watching people eat food. And I love people watching eat space food.
So they find a food machine that you program in what you want. Like, he's like, yeah, you want beef and this and this. And it pushes out like this.
A little food cube.
Like, food cube. And Jamie's like, I've heard of a square meal before, but this is ridiculous.
What an asshole. And he's very offended about it. This is not what I asked for. Thank you.
And then they talk a little bit about Victoria, which is sad, but whatever. Moving on.
I like liked it, though, because the doctor is very, like, you know, she made her own choice. We have to respect that. And I'm still very proud of him for having grown so much as a person.
Oh, because, yeah, Jamie's, like, wondering where she's at right now. And the doctor's like, she may not even be right now.
Right. Define now.
We exist outside of time. But he's like, but still, I assume she's doing well. She was in a, you know, good portion of history where bad shit didn't happen too much. I mean, there's that whole weed thing, but whatever.
And other than that, no real wars. She probably lived a good life.
And then Jamie's like, huh, good talk, doctor.
I'm gonna go sleep now.
He wants a nap. He's fucking Goldilocks. He's like, I want water. I want food, but it's too square. I want a nap now. I'm just gonna sleep in a bed. He's gonna find a bear soon. That's all I'm saying.
No, there's no bear in this one.
The bear was in a previous scenario. The chubby toaster waddles along and seals a door, sort of locking them into a area.
The living quarters of the rocket.
Not like they're not trapped in a room. They're just locked out of another room, basically. Because the doctor notices more tracks. And he's, like, cruising around the ship while Jamie... Because Jamie just passed out.
He's gone. He's done for, you guys.
Like, the doctor is talking to him, and he's like, well, you're not paying any attention. You're asleep. But so he's, like, trying to get stuff on the monitors, but there's nothing but static. And then the rocket just, like, jolts. Goes really fast. And the doctor bumps his head. Wakes Jamie up. And then they realize that they're sealed in and they can't get... I think it's like they can't get to the control room or something. I don't remember. They're locked in some other place now. They can't go to the place they previously were at. And they're like, wait, how did that happen? We could get in there before. In this one room, the robot presses some buttons and this like little tray thing comes out of the floor.
It's a chest and it slides out and it opens up. It's a carton of eggs, basically.
These little eggs just sort of float up.
And they go out into space. Goodbye, space eggs.
And we're like, what is happening? And they're heading towards the space wheel that they've now gotten to because the rocket moved.
And then they make a good sound when they go into the space wheel.
That doesn't happen until next episode. No, the end of this episode.
What else happens in this episode? Nothing.
Yeah, the doctor uses his rod on the door, just smacks it with his rod. And then he bumps into the robot. Jamie saves the doctor by throwing a blanket over the robot. And then the doctor gives Jamie the rod.
He uses it to explode the robot, which made me a little sad.
Jamie gets onto the doctor for, I guess, going off and exploring by himself. But the doctor is now asleep because he's basically in a coma.
Yeah, he hit his head pretty hard. Also, he has a vacation coming up, we think.
He's not in episode 2. But then we cut to the space wheel, the control room of the space wheel, and it's full of people who, honestly, I don't care much about. This episode is written by Kit Pedler, who wrote all the previous... Well, it's not written by Kit Pedler. It's based on a story by Kit Pedler. It's written by David Whitaker. But it seems like every Cyberman episode has a cast full of characters that I don't really care about.
They're not the most developed characters in the world. But Zoe's there.
I don't know if Zoe's in this scene yet.
I'm just saying, she's more developed because of reasons. She's coming with us, you guys.
But everyone in this control room is confused by the rocket because it's way off course. And they try to talk to it, communicate with it, but nothing happens. And they're worried because the rocket could suddenly head straight at him and cause problems. We get like a cast full of characters here. We've got the stereotypical, you know, dickwad, Jarvis. He's bald, but has a very big beard. He's, you know, he's the guy from Fury from the Deep. He's the guy that doesn't believe anything. He's the guy that's like, no, things have to be my way. He's been in this show million times.
We know this character very well.
Then you got Gemma, who's sort of kind of his boss, I guess. And she's more level-headed.
I don't know if she's his boss.
She's like at least an equal or something.
Yes.
She's more cautious and stuff, but like she's more smart about the things than the way Jarvis is. And then you've got like Captain Hare. He's sort of like the main guy on the deck. Jarvis and Jim are like the higher ups, but he's like the main dude on the deck, this Captain Hare guy. I don't know, he's got like this sort of mullet thing going on.
You really don't like his hair. You mentioned it multiple times.
I didn't care for it. And he's sort of condescending as fuck to this other woman, but it's played off as flirting.
There's way too much time too, like devoted to the two of these characters who are like, this one's rude, and that's how you know they're in love, to the point where there's like a scene where like they're flirting and like at the end, and it's supposed to be like, oh, see, they're together now, that's like the resolution for their arc. And I was just like, this is gross and I don't care. Like, their whole, like, thing lost me.
And then there's I guess he's the communications guy or the guy who presses the buttons. He's secretly my favorite in this episode, just because of one scene that happens later. And then, come to find out, he, way later, in New Who, plays Rassilon.
Yep.
in, was it Hellbent? He doesn't have very many lines in this. He mostly just communicates what's happening.
He's got a good face.
Yeah, there's a scene later we'll talk about. Made me love him. I think that's all we really meet at this point. There's more characters coming, which tells you there's too many characters in this. So the Spaceballs floomp, 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 floomp into the wheel. They sort of go through the exterior somehow.
They just do, in a space science way.
If that's the case, why don't they just do that with all of them? Because later, there's a scene.
Like, that they need to get them in?
Why didn't they just all come on the space eggs?
You can only do space eggs once per story. I don't have a good answer.
We still don't know what's in the eggs at this point. We won't know until the end of episode 2. That's how long it takes.
You kind of forget about them.
But Jarvis is like, this rocket's a problem. Let's X-ray explode it. We're going to shoot a laser at it and explode the rocket. And that's the
end of episode 1.
Like, Chris Cherry's talking about in The Web of Fear how, like, they really fucked up that one cliffhanger. But they got it right this time.
Yeah, they did actually, like, we're going to explode where the doctor is.
And you're like, what? No. Instead of, like, exploding the thing and then seeing the doctor sort of fall off of it. But now we're into episode 2. Also missing, which I have called Wheel Tour in Space. There's going to be a tour in this episode.
This episode opens with everyone in the, like, control room of the wheel. All the wheel in space. All talking all at once. There is a lot going on, most of which I did not catch. So I'll let Joe tell you what's happening in the scene.
What? No.
It's really hard to follow, like, anytime a missing serial is like, hey, we're going to show that, like, things are chaotic. It's really hard to follow what's going on without the, like, visual element.
And also, the reconstructions tend to be of lesser quality audio-wise.
Anytime a missing serial is, like, going to show you, like, there's a lot going on, you're kind of just like, oh gosh.
Okay.
I hope this gets recapped somewhere.
I think what the basic is Jarvis is like, let's blow up that rocket. And Jim is like, maybe we should be more cautious about this. Right. And everyone else is like, Gemma.
Why can't we just blow up the rocket?
Why can't we just blow stuff up all, like, right away, like we wanna?
And everyone thinks she's old and a stick in the mud. They, like, specifically call her out for being old, and I don't feel like she's that old.
She is not that old, no. She can't be more than, like, 40?
Yeah.
I don't actually know how age works, to be honest. I always get it wrong.
Jarvis and Gemma sort of begin a argument of, like, the rocket's a threat. She's like, but maybe it's not. Let's check it out. And this will go back and forth.
Like, we can't possibly know that it's going to be a threat. We're making too many assumptions. We're assuming that nobody's on there. And if we're wrong, people die. And right. I'm not a big fan of that.
Jamie points the rod thing, the time vector generator, at their ship through the window of the rocket and starts flashing it at them.
He's trying to do a SOS.
Or just trying to get their attention. I don't know. Does he know Morse code?
I don't, but he's definitely doing it in the episode. So I guess we can assume that, like, the doctor taught it to him.
This begins a series of Jamie trying to help and making things worse. Like, basically, the dude listening with headphones just gets blasted with this
static.
He goes down. It takes him out for a while.
Yeah.
Jarvis is like, this is, see, they're attacking us. We have to blow up the rocket. And Gemma's like, no, I'm pretty sure someone's trying to signal us.
Yeah, like, if you listen to the static,
there's a pattern. I don't know if it's necessarily SOS, but it's definitely like
SOS. It's short and then long, or long and then short.
Well, I don't know. It's like, it's 333.
Yes, you don't remember?
I don't know.
You should always know that. It's either three long ones, three short ones, three long ones, or swapped. I'm gonna get stuck somewhere and be sending OSO.
I know, but they'll get it. They'll figure it out. I'll be like, oh, they got it backwards, but I'm pretty sure they're trying to send an SOS. I don't think they're going to be sitting there like, what do they mean? OSO, OSO. I feel like they got it wrong. Let's go save them.
All right, good. Because I can either send an SOS or an OSO, and that's the only Morse code that I know.
Just do it into, like, the style of Help by the Beatles. Get that, like, melody down. Beep, 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 beep.
You're going to die on a deserted island.
They're like, what was he sending? I don't know. It was like hiffle-liffable. It didn't make any sense in Morse code.
What are we talking about?
Jamie is
signaling the ship, and they've just realized that it might in fact be a signal and not some kind of assault.
Right. So they send some space people to go check out the rocket. And at this point, we get another thing that's very similar to our previous episode, where someone's like, hey, I picked up some weird readings, like the ship fluctuated in its, like, air pressure or some shit. Basically, there's a reading of the space balls.
The little space eggs going space into eggs. The wheel.
Which is very similar to what happened in the last Cyberman. Or not the last, the one before the last.
Where they have found a way in, and it's like, we have weird readings, but we're gonna ignore them?
And that's exactly what happens here. Just like, yeah, ignore it for now. We have other important stuff happening. Then this is when the flirting really starts, because the woman's like, hey, things may be wrong. Maybe we should check it out. And Captain Hare is like, no, you're a woman.
That's how the scene goes down. I just feel like it.
She's fucking right, though, you know. Things are going to be bad. So
it's true. She is right.
Get a haircut and take care of things. So then in a scene that probably infuriates a lot of people that it's missing, Jamie gets a checkup with his shirt off. Yeah.
Did it infuriate you?
Nah, I'm all right. He gets a shirtless checkup and fashion advice. Gemma mentions that his outfit's weird.
Oh, Gemma's, yeah, Gemma's like, are you like doing something? Why are you dressed so fancy? And like, why are you dressed so weird? And he's like, I like this conversation a lot. Jamie's like, why are you dressed weird? She's like, that's a good point, actually. This is a space station. There are aliens and stuff. It's all weird. But she's like, but I'm in space, though. I'm on a space station dressed in like a space suit. So you're the weird one just because of context. Gotcha. I thought that was a fun conversation.
So she starts asking him, like, who's this other guy that we found that's, you know, in a coma? He
lies for no good reason?
Well, I mean, he doesn't know the doctor's name, for one. But yeah. But he gives him...
Because he gives him... He says he's the doctor, and she's like, well, I can't put that on my paperwork.
And he's like, it's John Smith, because... And he's looking at the, like, equipment that in the room, in the, you know, checkup room, hospital room, whatever it is. And it says John Smith and Associates. I believe this is the first time John Smith was used?
I think so.
Jamie did it. Way to go, Jamie. Of course, Gemma does not fully buy this, because he's also saying, like, we were working on the ship, or we were, like, passengers, because he doesn't mention the TARDIS at all. Because
he doesn't want them to know.
She's like, well, you know what? Since you're kind of stuck here for a while, we're going to give you a tour of the wheel. Something to do while you're sort of stuck here. She's like, go to this place, and this, we have a librarian here whose name is Zoe, who will help you out. And then Jamie leaves. Gemma calls Zoe and is like, you're going to be giving this tour to Jamie. It's basically so that you can keep an eye on him and see if he does anything weird, or, you know, observe him.
Make sure he's okay.
Jamie goes to Zoe, and Zoe makes fun of Jamie's clothes because he's wearing a dress.
He's wearing girl clothes.
And then Jamie... It's like, oh, I ought to give you bend you over my knee and give you a spanking.
So, you know, we were very much assaulted by the 60s.
That was awkward. Companions meeting each other for the first time.
You're wearing gendered clothes. Guys, clothes don't have a gender. I just want to throw that out there. If you want to wear a dress and you're any person, you should wear a dress.
And also, maybe don't threaten to spank people that you just met.
I was gonna say, like, if everyone's cool with it, that's fine.
That's fine.
That's something that, like, you've already established what your boundaries are with people. That's not like an opening statement.
You don't go, hey, I don't like your clothes, and then have someone else be like, hey, I'm gonna spank you. That's not an appropriate response to someone not thinking you're fashionable.
Despite this awkwardness, they have kind of a fun chemistry, even though it's mostly a result of Jamie being kind of an idiot. He's, like, offended that Zoe is very smart. It upsets him.
They go and they meet this other guy, new crew member, who I called Flower Guy a lot, and I don't remember his real name, because he found flowers in space.
Space Flora.
I want to say his name's Bill. Could be Bill. Could be Brett. Could be another B word.
I think it's Bill.
Is it Bill? Flower Guy. Bill.
I was going to say, I remember there was one scene, because, like, a lot of times when you get, like, secondary characters and we're, like, making notes and, like, we don't know who that is, there was one scene where it was just, like, people were being, like, introduced, or, like, a lot of names were being given at once, and I just saw Joe, like, furiously, like, going back and adding people's names. You know who this character is now. Okay, great. I can stop calling him Flower Guy.
So, Bill, the flower guy. Bill, the flower guy. Bill! He found a flower in space. Good on you, buddy. There's a scene where it's showing them around the wheel, and they see these flowers, and then she starts, like, rattling off all these, like, figures and numbers and stuff. And Jamie was like, wow, I was dying to know that.
That's something you, I wish I had as a GIF.
Doesn't exist, though.
It would be very useful.
He's just constantly like, oh, wow, you know things. Or, oh, wow, you didn't know that? What? He's kind of an ass.
He's kind of an ass. Jamie's frequently kind of an ass, but, like, he's that one friend you have who's an asshole, and you're like, ah, it's Jamie. He's an ass. It's fine, though, because he's also super cute, so.
Jarvis and Gemma have a conversation about the new passengers, Jamie and the doctor. Jarvis is, like, dying to know who the doctor is, but he can't really talk to him because, you know, concussion. And Gemma tells him, like, I think Jamie was lying. Not, like, a lot, just a little bit, sort of. He was mostly honest, but, like, a couple of things he said.
He was keeping something from us, but he seemed, like, uncomfortable about the fact that he was. Because she gives her estimation of Jamie to Zoe before she kind of passes him off. And it's like, he seems like a good guy. He's nice. He's genuine. He's keeping something from me, and I want to know what that is.
Because when Jamie left, she's like, oh, hey, you forgot your water. And he's like, I don't want it. And then left. And then she's like, that's weird.
Because in space,
you want water.
Water is precious. Precious. You wouldn't waste it.
So she's like, something's up. He clearly has not been trained for being in space. So why is he in space?
Maybe he's a stowaway. Maybe he's here to sabotage things, which is always what people think when the TARDIS crew shows up. Because to be fair, they just show up and bad shit's happening. And also, to be fair, Jamie does sabotage some shit in this episode.
So Gemma brings up her fears to Jarvis, which Jarvis just uses as, you're right, things are the worst. They must have gotten rid of the rocket crew, and because he overreacts. That's what he does. But now that no one is on the rocket, because like Gemma calms him down a bit, but he's like, but okay, no one's on the rocket. Now we can blow it up, right? We can blow it up. I want to blow something up. Can we blow it up? She's like, yeah, just blow up the rocket. Calm down.
Fine.
Jamie overhears this and sneaks away.
Doesn't say, hey, don't blow up the rocket. Some of my shit's on there, and I want it.
He just sneaks off and is going to sabotage the laser, which he's, like, looking around, and he's just like, he looks at the space flowers and finds those not useful, because why would you?
It's kind of like a video game of just like, oh, I can interact with this. Is this something? And then it's like, these space flowers look nice, and you're like, damn it.
And then we get an entirely pointless and awful scene. The woman that's flirting with Captain Hare says that she feels like trouble is a-brewing. She can smell it with her special nose. It was a very awful scene.
It was like, no one talks like that. Ever. I don't care about these characters. So I don't know why we're here. And also, I know trouble's happening.
I saw the space eggs.
Why did that just happen at all?
To fill time. And then, yeah, Cyberman breaks out of the egg.
That looked great. Why are you just glossing over what was, like, the best effect in the whole serial?
All right, describe it to the humble listeners.
I mean, okay, so they're space eggs, right? But they're, like, little white orbs. They're not actually egg-shaped, but we just knew that they were eggs. I mean, they basically came out of a carton.
A cyber carton.
But they're little white orbs, and they start to, like, kind of glow, and then, like, slowly... I'm confused about the size of them.
They did a thing to make it seem like the egg was getting bigger, but it didn't seem to get
that much bigger. But you see slowly fading in, there's a cyber dude, a cyber guy. He starts like
fetusing up.
Yeah. I guess it's like a shot laid over that they faded in.
I don't know how they did, because he like sort of grows. Like he like starts off as like a formless shape and then turns into a Cyberman.
It's two different shots. He starts to like reach to the top of the orb, and then like it's a second shot where like it cracks open and like the little cyber hand pops out. And I forget that they have three fingers at this point.
Yeah, they're Ninja Turtles.
And it was cool.
It was a really cool effect.
I liked it a lot. And, I don't know anything about Cyberman and space eggs.
Me either. I don't understand how the eggs work. How did it go through the ship with the Cyberman inside? I don't... What's happening?
These space
why
eggs...
And if that's the case, why didn't they send all of them that way? I don't know.
Maybe like they only have so many. Just use all of them.
There's a lot of questions.
It's a Trojan horse thing, right? Like, you gotta get some in so you can get all of them in.
I guess. I don't know. When the plan of this is eventually revealed, it's absolutely ridiculous anyway.
Like
so.
All Cyberman plans are.
But that's the end of episode 2. We are now into episode 3, our first existing episode. Woo!
Yay! I get so excited. Every time there's an existing 2 episode, I get so excited. His face is so good, you guys. And like the things that he does, just like he's a very physical actor. And it's a damn shame that so much is missing.
Speaking of that, I've titled this episode, How To and How Not To Act With Your Face.
We have two very good examples in this episode.
Neither involves the doctor, but the doctor's great.
I feel like I love Two a lot. Like, mm-hmm. A lot, you guys. I feel like there's a lot of people who will never get that into him because a lot of his stuff doesn't exist. That bums me out. He's a good doctor. Anyway, that's my spiel about existing episodes and just being excited about moving pictures.
So Jamie's looking around for something to
sabotage the laser with. Once he moves on from the flowers, he goes to the shelf. Just a shelf full of things with like one thing clearly labeled.
It says quick setting plastic in very large letters where everything else is just generic bottles with no labeling.
So it's like, hey, that one looks like it's drawn to be animated. Like, I guess he's using that.
So he grabs it and he like starts spraying down the wiring and stuff of the laser. But he's caught.
Red-handed.
But they caught him too late. It's too late. The laser's
already borked.
They're like, this is bad because there's a star that's gonna go supernova, right? Or explode.
They were worried about asteroids.
Well, the asteroids are caused by the star.
By the star.
And they're like, now we have nothing to take out these asteroids that are gonna come toward us because you destroyed the laser, you idiot. And he's like, oh, it's just... Like, this was really bad move on Jamie's part.
Right, they're like, you sabotaged it. And he's like, no. It's like, you did, Jamie. You did. And he's like, you don't understand. I didn't do anything. And it's like,
you did.
You did, though. He's like all offended that they're like, because normally Team TARDIS comes in and it's like, you're under arrest because you're suspicious. And they're like, fine. But like this time Jamie actually actively sabotaged something and was still like very offended when he was like being arrested. Like, you don't understand. I had to do it. But I'm not going to tell you why.
But the cyber hatchlings get on the radio and talk to their head Cyberman.
Their light bulb voice box.
It's just a light bulb in front of a black cloth. The Cybermen have different voices now. They may be the same ones from last time, but the head Cyberman has one of the harder to understand voices we've had from previous. It's like they're using two different voices they've used previously.
I can't understand anything the light bulb says at all. Because there's no variance in pitch.
It's very monotone, yeah. Like that.
Yeah, that's pretty good, actually. That's basically it.
And when he's talking with the other Cybermen, it's just like, I can't understand anything you're saying.
No.
Sorry.
I hope that information gets repeated elsewhere, because I don't.
I feel like they changed the Cybermen's voice throughout the serial, too. Just the regular ones. Because, like, sometimes they were harder to understand than they were in other scenes.
Just fine-tuning until they get it right.
Or they could just stop having Cybermen.
You're not a fan?
They're okay, but they've used them too much. I feel like this is the third one this season.
Well, yeah, because they don't have the Daleks, or else they'd be doing it with the Daleks.
Well, I feel like they use the Daleks too much, too.
Any hoozles.
The flower guy's like, it could take a week to fix this laser, which just really pisses off Jarvis. And they're worried about this sun exploding because it might fuck things up. Jamie has definitely made a mistake.
Yeah, because, you know, he's on the space wheel.
So everybody sort of leaves while Bill is going to fix up this laser, and he sees something in the corner of the room. It's a Cybermat, which he calls, was it a Billy Bug?
Yeah, he calls out Billy Bug. He's like, hey, Billy Bug, where are you? You're just a cute little space bug.
He's just, like, super excited about it.
He's basically me if I saw a Cyberman.
But he's also worried that other people are gonna see it, so he puts it in a closet.
He hides it.
I'm like, this is not a great move, Bill. And so they're like, Jamie, why did you do this? And he's like, the doctor said to protect the rocket.
The doctor wakes up and he's in like a hospital bed, and Jamie's sitting there and he's like, you couldn't have come up with something? You had to just put it on me? So now I have to come up with something?
Thanks a lot, Jamie.
I was really just planning on hanging out here in this hospital bed, like, recovering. Just maybe taking a nap. I'm tired, man.
And then he mentions that he doesn't really remember everything, which doesn't really go anywhere.
No, yeah, he has, like, mild amnesia, and that's it.
Nothing important comes out of it. Oh, well. So then Zoe is telling was it Jarvis, that things are going to be bad, she's rarely wrong, and she's, like, seems super excited about this. that she knows so much stuff. And then this is when Jarvis is like, you're all brain and no heart.
Listen, I'm gonna fight him. I'm gonna fight everyone in this serial who is mean to Zoe.
The serial seems to be trying to do this plot line of Zoe is all cold and emotionless and just cares more about facts and blah, blah, blah than she does. But she's the most effervescent. She's so cute and adorable.
She's the most personable side character in this story. I love her. Just because she's smarter than you, okay, doesn't mean that she doesn't have feelings. She does have feelings, and you're hurting them, and I'm gonna punch you.
It just, yeah.
I love Zoe a lot already.
The dialogue in these specific scenes are at, like, odds with the way the characters...
Honestly, though. Because Zoe's like, I don't want to come off that way, because I'm not that way.
But they, like, quite frequently say, like, you're not acting human. Like, that's bullshit. I would hang out with her. She's plenty human.
I don't know. I've been in situations before where somebody said that about, you know, like, people I know, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah. I've been in situations where somebody's been perceived as kind of cold, even though, like, truly they're not. I've seen it happen before. Like, it's a situation that I, like, frustrated me because I was like, yeah, these people are wrong. Why can't they see that they're wrong? Kind of thing. Unless, like, they're talking about something that doesn't exist. I've seen that happen before. With people just, like, getting frustrated, like, no. It's always great, you guys.
The thing that gets me about it, though, is...
She's smart and she has feelings. Leave her alone.
Jarvis saying it is whatever, because Jarvis is a dick. But there's a scene later where Gemma does it, too, and it's like, Gemma, you're cooler than this.
Yeah, Gemma, you should know better.
Bill opens the door, and the Cybermat has, like, torn into this box of Bernalium, some kind of metal, I guess, and it's just, like, tore it all up. And then there's more Cybermats, which I think Bill only sees the one, but he, like, sort of scoots them out of there or whatever. He's like, oh, shit, you guys have torn shit up. It sort of runs off. But, like, they've not, like, eaten it. They've, like, corroded it. They sort of, like, sanded it down. You could call them Bernalium Sanders. You've just stopped.
I don't.
Are you okay?
No.
Is that because it's good or because it's bad?
No.
Bernalium Sanders.
That will happen.
Wait, I don't know what this emotion you're having is. Is it good or bad?
It's very much like extreme anger.
Bernalium Sanders. Okay, where were we?
So, everything I was doing just stopped. And all there was left was fury. What?
From the deep?
Then what happens?
The doctor gets a checkup by Gemma, I believe. She's like, but you know, you still need to rest here for a while. You're not ready to get up and go. And he's like, oh, yay. He's really pleased. He was not ready to get up. This doctor likes to nap.
A lot.
I don't think he's quite as much as the first doctor, but still quite a bit.
He has just been like, anyway, how are we going to fix this, doctor? I don't know, but I'm taking a nap, which I respect, which I identify with a lot.
The doctor says, thanks for helping me. Sorry about messing up your laser. Jamie didn't know about the meteorites. He's sorry. He wouldn't have done it if he knew about the meteorites. Zoe comes in and is introduced to John Smith, which the doctor has to quickly be let in on that's his name.
She comes in and she's like, hey, Dr. John Smith. And the doctor's like,
who?
And Jamie's like,
yes.
John Smith?
Dr. Smith.
Who is you?
And the doctor's like, yes, hello. Glad to meet you. I am he. They're terrible at this. That always gets me in, like, TV shows and stuff when they have to, like, improvise, like, lie on the fly. And it's always really fucking obvious. Like, oh, right, yes, that's me. No one, everyone else is like, oh, okay, hi.
I mean, to be fair, Gemma is like, that's not his name. She just lets him get away with it. She doesn't call him out. But, like, later she's having a conversation and she's like, yeah, I don't know what's up with that. That's obviously not his real name.
Zoe comes in and says that she's been thinking about it and the rocket must have been refueled and driven to the wheel. It would not have come this way.
It wouldn't have drifted so far if it wasn't driven. And she's done the math. She knows.
And the doctor says it may have been a faulty autopilot. And Zoe is like, no, that's stupid.
And she's right, you guys.
To be fair, they're both kind of right, though. I think it's like the Cybermen fucked with the autopilot to do that. Because the autopilot's the little chubby robot, right? So they're both right, maybe. I think the Cybermen faultied the autopilot.
What?
That's not a sentence. I think the Cybermen faultied the autopilot.
Well, you used up all your brain power on that Sanders joke, huh? You are just done for now.
Bernalium Sanders. That's good, right?
I really dislike you. Stop it!
Okay, so Bill tells Gemma about the space bugs. Then we get a scene with the space bugs, which the space bugs are the Cybermats. And this is where we get the how not to act with your face portion of the episode.
Oh my god, it's so great.
This guy walks in and he's surrounded by the Cybermats, and he is the hammiest motherfucker I have ever seen.
He's like crouched down and then spitting in circles while still crouched, like... His
what?
I don't even know. Like, his mouth is like so far open, like Fury from the Deep levels open. You okay?
I'm fine.
Like, his face was made out of cartoons and rubber. Those are the expressions that he was making.
He had to be someone's relative, but like the producer's cousin or something. But he shoots one of them with the quick-setting plastic. But there's so many more that it doesn't really do much. But they surround him. He screams, and then he's dead. And the Cybermats sort of scatter. Like space cockroaches.
Space cockroaches.
Zoe brings the Cybermat covered in plastic to the doctor. And, like, I don't know how to get into this because it's, like, impossible to cut through. The doctor's like, you can cut through anything. He mentions the Gordian knot, which I had to explain to Tony.
You had to explain to me. I didn't know about it.
Because the Gordian knot was basically this giant knot that nobody could untangle. And then this guy was like, I can untangle it. Got a sword out and chop through it. It's like, done. You just got to look at it from a different angle.
Which is what they do. They look at it through x-rays.
Yeah. She's like, why didn't I think about that? And then
Jamie is
like,
super pleased.
Why didn't you think about that? Aren't you super smart?
Don't you know everything? I'm surprised you didn't know this. And so he's like, well, at least you didn't think about it, because that would be intolerable.
And the doctor does this adorable, like laugh. He is so proud of both of them.
He's just like, oh man, these two are gonna be fun to have on the TARDIS. These two are gonna be fun to have around.
And now we get to another scene of flirting, but this is also the part of the episode that is the how to act with your face. Because they're flirting, or whatever, which is akin to them just verbally sparring. I don't remember either of their names. The one woman on the ship, and, well, there's Gemma.
There's Zoe. What are you talking about?
The one that I don't know the name of. Her and Captain Hare, and she gets, like, a zinger in on him, and he's just sort of like, I don't know what to say. And it pans over, and just, like, the communications guy, the guy with the headphones, is just, like, staring, just like, you got zinged. And then, like... You got zinged. And then, like, Captain Hare gives him a look like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, oh, look, I am pressing buttons on this important console. It's great.
It's a good scene.
Then he became Rassilon. Those were the how to and how not to act with your face. So they x-ray the thing, and the doctor's like, it's a Cyberman. Cybermen must be on the rocket. This is bad, you guys. Some other men have been sent to the rocket, I think, to get more Bernalium, right?
Yes.
Because Bernalium will fix the...
There are two guys got sent to the rocket.
They didn't get sent to get Bernalium, though.
No, but they were sent there, and the Cybermen were like, hey, they mind-wiggled them.
Why were they sent to the rocket, though, these guys?
They were sent there...
For a reason.
And the Cybermen mind-wiggled them.
Brain-wiggled.
And said, hey, call your base... And tell them you just found a shit ton of Bernalium here.
And that's the end of episode 3, is getting brain-wiggled by the Cybermen. We're now into episode 4, which I call Weekend at Bernaliums.
I'm really glad that there are only two more episodes.
I did not realize I had already done a Bernie joke. This episode is missing. The doctor tells the crew that it's Cybermen. Zoe knows about cybernetics. Jarvis does not care. Jarvis is like really mad about it. I know what it is.
Yeah, he's like, Cybermen. And Zoe's like, yeah, Cybermen, it's cybernetics. And like explains what cybernetics is. And Jarvis is like, I know. He doesn't know.
At some point during this serial, he gets space sickness, and I have no idea when it happens.
It's what happens in every episode, where it's like, listen, he's just started to be useless, so he's not in charge anymore.
Meanwhile, back on the rocket, the Cybermen get inside of this giant box, and Bernalium is stacked on top of them, and they're going to be brought back to the wheel. They're smuggling in Cybermen. Well, no. This is the scene where Jarvis really starts to, like, lose it. He's like, yeah, everybody's talking crazy talk. I think everybody's got the space sickness, and you guys are just trying to, like... take control of things away from me. Ah, he's the Fury from the Deep guy.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
The same thing happens.
It's the problem I have with the serial is that it sort of repeats shit that's happened a bunch of times before. And then we find out the laser needs Bernalium. And the Cybermats destroyed the Bernalium. So they're like, the Cybermats must have been trying to...
destroy the laser.
To sabotage the laser. And Jamie's like, we'll see. It would have happened anyway, right? Not my bad anymore.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Just because I did it first. I did it before the bad guys could do it makes me not bad. I don't know how that logic works. And then we get a scene where... Zoe is, like...
taking some notes. She's recording notes about something.
And Jamie comes in and talks to her. And she's like, hey,
You screwed him up.
You interrupted my recording. And Jamie's like, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
What's a recording? And she plays him back. And he's like, hey, that's you!
That's me!
And yeah, that gets to him. Hey, that's me!
And then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mess it up. That's my bad. Sorry. But, like, we are in the future. We're on a space station. And she's recording on tape. Because she's like, let me play it back for you. Like, she rewinds it.
I mean, to be fair, I am living in the future. And I deal with tape every day of my life.
Fair enough. But I don't think it's going to be on a space station.
I bet it will be.
Well, this is the only scene that you kind of like Captain Hare in. Because, like, they're fixing the laser. Bill and two other guys or something. And they're like, we're going to take, like, 5 minutes for lunch. And Captain Hare's like, you're going to take 45. Minutes.
You're gonna take 45 and like it.
Which, that was kind of funny. That was a good little scene.
I like when people are like looking at it like, no, this work has to get done. We're only gonna take 5. And it's like, you need to rest! Because that's me. I'm the like, no, take care of yourself.
So then the Gemma and the doctor are having a chat. The doctor's worried about Jarvis and thinks that there may be something wrong with him. Which, I guess there is, because he's acting all weird. Like, I don't know. It just seemed to come out of the blue that he starts acting super weird. And I was like, when did this happen? It just started happening. And at this point, Gemma's like, well, you still need to rest. And at this point, the doctor doesn't want to.
He has had enough.
And then Jarvis comes in, acts just really weird. And I don't know. Did I miss a scene?
No, he just starts acting weird.
He's like, everything's going well. Really well. It's going great, you guys. Everything's going great.
I mean, basically, like, things keep going wrong, nachos? And he keeps being like, space nachos?
Space nachos.
Things keep going wrong, and he keeps being like, what? Why? You're all conspiring. I think, like the more people interact with him and be like, well, what now? This is broken, and this is broken, and he's just like, it, like, piles on top of him, I think.
He just breaks.
It just becomes too much.
So Bill is working on the laser, and he's like, you said there's Bernalium? They brought Bernalium over from the rocket. Go get that Bernalium. We need it. So a guy goes to get it, and he gets attacked by a Cyberman, and they put his body in an incinerator, and they just burn it up. And then the woman that was flirting with Captain Hare is like, hey, the incinerator was just used. That's weird, right? And everybody's like, no, you're a woman.
We've got bigger fish to fry. No one says that.
No one says, you're a woman?
No.
It's implied. And she's always right. People should just fucking listen to her. She's got a special nose. She tells them she has a superpower. No one listens. But the astronauts that were brainwiggled in the previous episode bring Bill the Bernalium.
Which I love that they're, to show that they're brainwiggled, they're very, you know, like deadpan and robotic.
Nobody notices.
Nobody notices.
No one's like, hey, Jeff, why are you acting so weird? Are you okay? You need a Snickers? You're not yourself.
We're not sponsored by Snickers.
We are totally willing to be sponsored by Snickers. Snickers, if you want to sponsor us, let us know. You can pay us in Snickers, right? You mention Snickers on a podcast, then you get like a shit ton of Snickers mailed to you, right? Let us know. We'll give you our address. I will whore out for Snickers.
Do you not think that's how it works?
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
All right.
Like how every other podcast just gets shit tons of free just stamps.
Casper mattresses everywhere.
So many Audible books.
We listen to podcasts.
But yeah, they act very wooden and fake. And nobody notices. Nobody pays any attention to it. But the astronauts say that they are worried about the meteorites attacking the wheel, which is weird. We'll get to that in a bit. But then Bill is brain wiggled. No!
No!
The Cybermen brain wiggle Bill.
Not Bill! Not Flower Guy!
And the Cybermen are going to fix the laser. And they send Bill away to do some cyber bidding. Zoe comes to she's been studying the meteorites, and she found some new stuff, and went to tell Jarvis about it.
Even faster than they thought.
And she goes to tell Jarvis about it, and Jarvis is like, forget it. It's not important. Just forget you even found this out. And she tells this to Gemma, and then Gemma's like, you don't have emotions, you know that? This is the scene I don't get. This is when Gemma starts getting on to Zoe about being a robot, an emotionless drone. And I'm like, but she's not. Why does this keep happening? Why is everyone being dicks to Zoe?
I don't know.
Okay, so this episode was conceived by Kit Pedler, but written by David Whittaker. Do you think at this point, if it had been written by Kit Pedler, they'd been like, you know what? Go fix us some coffee, Zoe.
This Cyberman story was missing a female companion fixing coffee. That is true. Like, every single Cyberman story before. Everyone.
So Zoe goes to talk to the doctor because she's just buds with the doctor now. She tells the doctor about the meteorites, you know, that they're moving faster, and about the Bernalium that got carried over from the rocket. The doctor starts to piece some things together. He's like, wait a second. What's going on?
They must come over in the Bernalium.
Which, again, why can't they just come over in the eggs?
Well, what do the ones that are already there do? The eggs come over, they go into the space wheel, right? The eggs go into the space wheel and not the rocket, correct?
Right, because they left from the rocket. Did they do anything?
It only makes sense if those were the cyber mats.
Yeah, that would make sense, but it was clearly the Cybermen.
It only makes sense if the cyber mats got in, and like the cyber mats had to let in the cybermen.
I don't know. It doesn't make sense.
But it does show a cyber guy
hatching from
and
the
not end. A cyber mat.
What? I don't know. If you understand what's happening, please let us know. Because as you know, Joe and Tony, they don't know things.
They don't know things.
Please explain this plot to us. Because we are confused. But the doctor's worried about people being, mind controlled, because that's what the Cybermen do. They brain wiggle you. And Gemma says, it's okay. We're protected from mind control by drugs.
She's like, doctor, we're not children. We're space travelers. Everyone who works here takes anti-mind control drugs. That's just good sense.
That's just standards.
Which I love.
But I think it's at this point that he's like, you need to start putting like metal plates on everyone's necks.
Because the mind control drugs aren't enough. You're still going to get mind controlled. So I don't know why.
And then
why it needs to be established that they take anti-mind control drugs, except for that it's great. It's just a great idea. We know in space, people try to control your mind all the time. We're not children.
And then they're sort of having this conversation, and Bill just idly walks by and electrocutes the shit out of himself. Does he die? I think he might die. He goes to the communications panel and is like, he takes out their communication. Then things got kind of confusing, and then a cliffhanger happened, and we were like, did a cliffhanger happen? I chalk a lot of this up to it not existing. I think Jamie and the doctor were examining the Bernalium shipment and everything in the box, and then a Cyberman showed up, but it was very unclear.
Just from the reconstruction, I'm like, there was like a Cyberman in a hallway, and was he like near the doctor, or is he just walking down a hallway? And then it's over, and you're like, okay. Whatever.
And that was the end of episode four. And we are now into episode five, which is also missing, which I call The Fighting Flanagan, because we're going to get a new character this episode, and he's amazing. So yeah, a Cyberman comes in, and Jamie and the Dr. Hyde. Cliffhanger resolved. The Cyberman takes a box of, I think, Bernalium and leaves, because they are fixing the laser. So why would they destroy the laser to fix the laser?
Plan.
The Cybermen don't want to destroy the wheel. What do they want? Questions the doctor. But the doctor is worried about the air.
Because, guys, Cybermen don't need air, but, like, people do.
Cause doesn't he, like, ask, like, Jamie, like,
what do we need that the Cybermen don't? And Jamie's like, food! I need food. I am literally starving all of the time. Can I please have something other than food cubes? Food? Is it food?
And the doctor's like, no, you dumbass, it's air. Stop thinking with your stomach. Jesus.
I identify with Jamie a lot right now.
So he tells the crew to seal the airlocks because he's worried that they'll just suck out all the air. A Cybermat shows up and sort of confronts the Doctor and Jamie, like a bunch of them. And the Doctor is talking to Gemma over the intercom or whatever and tells them to play loud sounds at it until it explodes. And they do. The Cybermats explode. And then the Cybermen communicate that the Cybermats have exploded to head light bulb. How long does that stay a thing? Leader of the Cybermen is a light bulb. I think we should bring that back.
As long as it can have a different voice.
Different voice, but definitely still a light bulb. Just a giant light bulb.
The biggest you can find.
And Jarvis is shown the Cybermat, like, look, this is the thing. And he just refuses to believe the Cybermat that's right in his fucking face.
You okay?
Yeah, he's dumb. But they raise a magnetic field to keep out Cybermen, because now they're like, all right, this is legitimate. This is a legitimate threat. And then we get a weird scene about Zoe sort of questioning herself and about, you know, whether she is too analytical or whatever. Also, the way they word things just makes it seem like she's not even human or she was made.
That was the thing I wanted to bring up that I couldn't remember. That there are, like, things throughout this episode. There is interesting wording about Zoe. About how, well, you were made for this purpose. And it's like, are they referring to training? Are they referring to, like, she's some sort of robot or genetic clone who was made, like, to be a librarian? There's a lot of wording saying that she was, like, made and talking about her training and talking about she's basically for this purpose of being a librarian. And so there's almost a question of, like...
It's a librarian of, like, what, parapsychology or something like that? She's in that department or something?
But it's like, is she human? There's enough comments that you're like, I don't know. Maybe they're making that comments because she's somehow not human or, like...
It was similar to, like, in the Ice Warriors when they kept calling that one guy a robot.
Well, no, it's not. Because in the Ice Warriors, you knew they were just being like, you're a robot, you don't have emotions. This was very specific, like, oh, well, you were made that way.
Yeah, but I mean, that could still just be training.
Maybe. Education. I'm saying this is more ambiguous than the Ice Warriors. Whereas the Ice Warriors was, like, clearly them just saying, like, you don't have emotions.
I don't know, it still feels kind of like they're just saying you don't have emotions, but it could be another thing.
That one line in particular of, like, that's, like, what you were made for is, like, something like that is said like a couple of times and you're just like, what is Zoe?
Meanwhile, back in the laser room, the two astronauts that have been brain wiggled are working on the laser. An alarm starts going off and this other crewmate, whose name is Flanagan comes in and questions it. It's like, what's going on? And they're like, nothing, everything is fine. And then basically a big old fight scene happens and Flanagan kicks some ass.
Some serious ass, you guys.
He kicked so much ass that this stuff got censored, which is why it's the only existing footage in this episode. He just, like, rams one of them into a door repeatedly. Just, like, bashes his head into a door. It's fantastic. Unfortunately, this is short-lived, and Flanagan gets brain-wiggled. All the good characters get brain-wiggled.
I know, it's sad. The Cybermen are slowly eliminating the most interesting characters.
This guy just came on and I instantly loved him and then brain wiggled. But the laser is repaired. So they fixed the laser anyway. Because I guess they don't want the wheel to
They want the wheel.
Want the wheel. The Doctor starts figuring all this shit out. Which is the Cybermen caused the sun to go supernova. Which caused the meteorites. They sent the Cybermats to destroy the Bernalium. Then get on board. And it's all this very elaborate long con. That's absolutely ridiculous.
They destroyed the Bernalium so that they could send the Bernalium, but they had to make the meteor shower so that they need to use the laser, even though they wanted to use the laser anyway.
So they need to get on board the ship. So they make the sun explode to send the meteorites, but the laser will destroy the meteorites. So they send the Cybermats to destroy the Bernalium, which would cause them to go to the rocket to get more Bernalium, which allows the Cybermen to be brought on board. And then they fix the laser to destroy the meteorites that they themselves caused so that they can have the wheel in space. What is this Joker level of intense ridiculousness? Oh my god. Who cares? That's just way too complicated. Okay, so Doctor's like, I need that time vector generator. And Jamie's like, I put it in your pocket. And the doctor's like, but I don't have it. And he's like, it's where I put it. He's like, it's probably still back on the rocket. So Jamie, you have to go to the rocket.
Which the doctor's like, well, one of us is going to have to go back to the rocket. And I'm really busy. So... But then he proceeds, like, the whole time Jamie is, like, out in space going to the rocket. He's not doing shit. I don't know what he's so super busy doing.
And Zoe's gonna go with him because Jamie's never been in space like that.
Well, and also, I don't know how far the rocket is supposed to be from the wheel. But it's not like they take, like, a pod. They got spacesuits and they just sort of float on over there.
Yeah, and the doctor's like, yeah, that's fine. Let her go. And Captain Hare is like, what the fuck? Don't send Zoe out there. That's terrible. She could get killed by, like, we don't know what kind of debris is out there. And he's just, like, super worried for Zoe. So I kind of liked him in this scene. The doctor's like, it's worth it to risk the lives of a couple to save the lives of many.
There's also this big thing that, like, Zoe calculated the risk.
Right.
They know exactly how risky it is, which apparently is, like, not that much. But, like, Captain Hare has, like, worried the doctor. Because now he's like, oh, God. I have sent, like, 2 small children out into, like, space.
A Cyberman takes one of the astronaut guys and is like, hey, please fuck with the oxygen. And he's like, okay, let me put the poison in the all the air systems. Gemma overhears this. And then she gets on the speaker with the doctor and tells him. But then she's immediately caught and killed by the Cybermen.
No, stop killing all the interesting characters.
And then Zoe and Jamie are hanging out in space. And meteorites head straight for them.
Which are the little spinny ping pong balls.
And that's the end of episode 5, and we are now into the last episode, episode 6, which exists, and that I have called The Walk in Space.
Not Spacewalk.
No. It's The Walk in Space.
Which is that rewritten at the last second?
That's, yeah, it was the spacewalk, and I was like, no, wait, it's not related to Zoe and Jamie. You'll see what it is in a minute. It's completely ridiculous. But it's okay. They're floating in space, and the meteorites get lasered, so...
Pew, 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 pew.
It looked like they got, Jamie and Zoe got separated, but I don't think they did, because later it's like, we're on the ship, and it's fine. But this is at this point, like, that they've lasered all the meteorites. They don't know if Zoe and Jamie are okay, or if they got hit by, they could have been hit by the debris, they could have been hit by the meteorites, they could have been hit by the lasers they were using to shoot the meteorites, and he's, like, really pissed at the doctor. And then the doctor's like, yeah, it's a risk, blah, blah, blah. Also, we need to be worrying about something else right now, which is the fact that your air is going to be poisoned. And he's like, what? He's like, well, who told you this? And he's like, Gemma got on the intercom thing and told me. And he's like, well, let me talk to her real quick. He's like, oh, about that. She's dead. She's, like, really dead.
And then, first of all, the doctor says that she's dead. And, like, the whole crew turns around and looks at him. And they're like, what? Because, guys, everybody like Gemma. Then, like, some other stuff happens. Like, they have to take care of the air problem.
Why would the doctor not lead with that?
Well, yeah, but also, no one goes and gets her or anything. Like, there's a scene later where, like, somebody's walking through the room.
Oh, it's Jamie and Zoe come back.
It's Jamie and Zoe. They come back. They're walking through the room where Gemma died. And she's just, like, laying there dead. And they just sort of, like, ah, oh, that sucks.
And, like, move on.
Walk over her dead body. And I'm like... We can't close her eyes or...
Move her?
No. No one moves her. She stays there. Dead. Nothing. It got me. That's all.
Before Zoe and Jamie get back, they're worried about the air poisoning and stuff. And they're like, the more meteorites, I think, show up and they start lasering those. Jarvis just leaves. He gets up and leaves. And no one notices until they're like done with their meteorite thing. And then like the doctor goes to sit down. He's like, whoa, wait, this seat was supposed to be occupied.
Where's Jarvis?
And they turn on the monitors trying to find him. Jarvis is just wandering the halls, bumps into a Cyberman, and tries to attack him with his hands.
With his bare hands. He thought he was going to beat up a robot.
And then Jarvis gets killed by the Cyberman. And everybody's kind of sad. I'm like, yeah. I don't understand what happened with Jarvis. It's just like, they're writing, it's like, I don't know, he gets crazy and then dies.
Yeah, his character didn't really need to exist.
Nor did it make sense. I don't. But Jamie and Zoe on the rocket, they like turn on the monitors and like it's the Cybermen talking to the head Cybermen and stuff. But oh, and the air poisoning scheme did not work because they were talking about it for too long. The astronaut's like, sorry, Cyber dude, we took too long. They're on emergency air now. They've hooked into like a separate air supply line, so can't poison that air. Maybe if we went somewhere else. but not there.
They can only get to it from like the control room, which they have blocked off, and the Cybermen can't get to.
But so Zoe and Jamie though are listening in on this thing where they're talking about the Cybermen are going over the entire crew and seeing who's good and who's bad. I guess.
Well, they're trying to figure out. So like all the Cybermen's got exploded. They stopped the air from being poisoned. So they're like, somebody on here knows about us. Or the way that they say it is like, knows about our ways. This is the way they kept saying it. They're going through the whole crew. They've got like a crew member there. And they're like,
who's this? What is their role in the crew? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They're going through them one by one. And when they get to the doctor, he's like, I don't.
The doctor, he's like, doctor, what's their name? He's like, I don't know.
See, I don't.
No.
I don't know anything about this person.
It's very dramatic. Well, I mean, that leads to the head light bulb being like, well, guess we're going to destroy that doctor. I think he's the bad guy.
Well, I think they say, like, yeah, that's the doctor. We know.
He's trouble. Meanwhile, the wheel crew have discovered a Cyberman spaceship on their radar. Possible. It is. It's a spy Cyberman spaceship. It comes into view. They've brain-wiggled Flanagan, right? So they tell him to lure the doctor out of this room, and then they're going to take care of the doctor, destroy him. Flanagan comes onto the screen, and he's like, hey, you guys, shit's real bad here. Maybe you should send someone to come check it out. And they're like, that's a great idea. The doctor's like, I'll do it. Flanagan's like, cool, bye, hangs up. Then the doctor's like, all right, I'm not actually doing that. When Flanagan gets here, you guys grab him. Flanagan's coming to get him, maybe? Yeah.
He says, I'm going to be at, like, whatever, hallway 6 or whatever. He says, but I think it's actually corridor 6. But he doesn't show up there and he goes somewhere else. And Flanagan's coming back.
And he's like, when he gets here, grab him. They're like, but why? He's like, because he's acting weird as fuck.
He's clearly been brain-wiggled, you guys. Please, clearly. Keep up.
I told you guys they were mind controllers. When you grab him, put that neck plate on him. Jamie and Zoe return to the wheel, bump into Flanagan, and then they all sort of start going back to the control room or whatever. Then they grab Flanagan, they put the neck thing on him, and he's then okay. He gets better. And the doctor has gotten some spare parts in this other place. Jamie warns the doctor that they're trying to destroy him.
Doctor's like, yeah, I know. I kind of figured.
He's like, now give me that vector plot generator, whatever the hell it was.
Vector plot generator.
He's like, oh, actually, you know what? I gotta go. And hangs up the call. And Cybermen are in the room with him. The doctor starts questioning him about their plan and figures out the whole plan. And I don't know, there was a whole thing about radio beams. That's why they had Bill the Flower Guy take out the communications with Earth, because I don't know. It made no fucking sense. I don't care. At this point, I'm just like, get on with it. Do whatever you're going to do. I don't care. I don't care about this overly convoluted plot anymore. Just get on with the story. Do you know what they were talking about?
Yes.
Thanks for clearing that up.
They wanted to go to Earth and take it over. That was the plan.
But why did they have to break communications with the Earth? There was something about radio beams.
The doctor asked them that, and they gave an answer.
Joe and Tony, we don't know things. The Cyberman tries to come further into the room, but is electrocuted by a field that the doctor has set up. The other Cyberman gets away. Then Jamie and Flanagan come into the room through an air tunnel. They give the doctor the vector thingy.
Time vector generator.
And then they go to leave to fight with Cybermen. And so the doctor starts fixing up the laser and messing around with it and turns it towards the Cyberman spaceship. Jamie and Flanagan go to the airlock room where they brought in the Bernalium, and Flanagan's pretending to be, you know, still under the thrall of the Cyberman. He's like, I caught this guy in the hallway. And the Cyberman's like, he's not important. Just go back in business. But the Cybermen are heading out of their cyber spaceship and coming to the wheel in space. They're just walking in space. At first, I didn't know what was happening because it just did a shot of them just sort of like walking. And I was like, what? In like a black void and like out of context of anything. They didn't show them leaving the ship. It just showed them walking in this black void. And I was like, are they walking in space? What am I looking at?
They are. They're walking in space. And it's great because they're doing the like, they're like trying to look like they're moving very slowly until they like pull their arms up very slowly and then let them drop very slowly. And that's what it looks like when you walk in space. You know, the the hard surface of floor space. Of space that lets you walk forward.
Well, Jamie and Flanagan first de-cyber another astronaut guy. Then they plastic spray a Cyberman. And the Cyberman just quickly opens the airlock door and his death thralls. And that's when the Cyberman, you see them walking into the ship. And it's clear that they're just walking on something. They're not floating in space. They're walking on something.
Yeah, but their arms are moving up and down very slowly. So you know that they're floating. Yeah.
But their feet are tiptoeing on a very small, invisible board.
They didn't have that many wires. They had two sets of wires, and that's it.
So
they couldn't float the whole lot of Cybermen.
But Jamie and Flanagan shut the door on the Cyberman. The Cyberman's still trying to get in. And then the crew fire the laser at the cyber ship. And it explodes, I guess. And then something, I don't know, how did they get, the Cybermen get pushed back out into space and float away into nothingness?
Well, first, the Doctor puts the time vector generator in the laser. That's what makes it super powered, so right. That it can shoot the ship.
I don't remember how the Cybermen get blasted out into space, the ones that were trying to get into the door.
I don't know, but they do.
It happens.
Because I just remember being like, they keep getting just like, phew. They keep, like, team rocketing out.
They floated off the serials. They floated off the, was it the moon in the previous serial? Now they just sort of get shot off. There's just dead Cybermen in space everywhere.
All over the place.
And that's it. They saved. Communications has been restored. And it's, like, later. Captain Hare and the woman.
Hold hands? For, like, 5 minutes, I swear to God, we just watch a close-up of their hands.
Like, yeah, like, one of them presses, like, a button on the console, and the other one puts their hand on top of their hand.
And it's like, oh, and it's like, why am I watching them hold hands for so long? I don't
care.
I don't care about these characters at all. I'm glad they're alive, I guess.
And then Zoe takes the Doctor and Jamie back to the rocket so they can get on their ship, the TARDIS. The Doctor fills the mercury thing.
Finally, he's like, and I have enough left over. So I'm just going to set that aside somewhere because that's a smart thing to do, is to have some backup mercury just laying around.
Jamie's like, you ready to go? And then the Doctor's like, hold on a second. And he looks over it and you see a lid shut on this giant chest. And he goes and he knocks on it and he opens it up and Zoe's in there and she's snuck aboard. So she just snuck aboard and was immediately caught. And she's like, I just want to go with you and stuff. And he's like, well, there's all sorts of dangers that could happen.
I really love this scene. She's like, I want to travel. I want to go with you guys. And the Doctor's like, well, you might change your mind.
Let me put on my brain tiara.
Which it is a really cool looking metal band with like a jewel in the middle and that he uses to project a rerun of Evil of the Daleks, apparently. But he's like, listen, you might change your mind. And she's like, I won't. I know I won't. He's like, just like, heads up, like, here's what you're in for. And it's like, you know, almost dying every other week. There's been a lot of discussion about that the Doctor kind of tempts people in a way that's irresponsible. He's offering them so much, like, in a way that they can't really...
He doesn't necessarily show them the negative aspects.
Right, and he knows them. Oh, that scene in
The God Complex.
What does he say to that one woman and then offers to take her away? She's like, I think you just did that thing again. You know, I offer people the universe, and they're not going to say no. But I think this is, like, this scene is the Doctor really trying to give someone, like, all the information before he takes them. Is like, listen, make an informed decision. Know what you're doing before you get into it. And is basically like, here are the Daleks. Here's us dealing with the Daleks and some terrible shit that has happened to people who have traveled with me. Like, up front, this is what you're getting.
The thing about this scene, though, two things. One, it was basically just to set up the fact that they were about to air reruns of The Evil of the Daleks.
Yes.
And two, she never comes into contact with Daleks on the TV show.
Are they going to open? I know it's like to set up a rerun. Mm. Are they going to open as if she had just watched it?
Maybe.
And have her be like, well, I don't care. I still want to go. Because, like, obviously she's a companion.
And she's like, whew, that was wild. I hope nobody ever deletes that. That's the end of episode 6. And that's the end of The Will in Space. Space Will.
Final thoughts.
I love Zoe. I love her a lot. I already feel very protective over her and people telling her that she needs to have more emotions and show more emotions and she's too smart. Leave her alone. She's very smart. She can have as much emotions as she wants. leave her alone, let her go on adventures, just let her live her life, she's gonna be great. By far is always the best thing to come out of the serial. On its own, it's kind of lackluster. Like any Doctor Who, there's always something that, even if you're like, eh, there's something in it that was great. There is something in it that was worth watching. I just really want to talk about Zoe, and I'm excited to have her, and I would probably not gonna have her long enough. And I really, really, really like the end scene. I'd like to see how that interaction plays out. It's really interesting to see the Doctor sort of taking responsibility for... It seems like two, more than anyone, really has an idea of, like, being responsible. Like, for Jamie and for Victoria, and, like, letting them make their own choices. Like, when Victoria said she was done, he was like, all right, that's fair, that's your choice. Now that we have Zoe coming on, he's not just like, cool, we're gonna go on space adventures. He's like, make sure you want this. You know, I'm giving you all the information. I want to make sure you're making an informed decision about whether or not this is something that you want. That's a really nice thing about two that I like.
I feel like this is a weak serial to end a season on, especially since the last one, while not the best serial, had such a strong ending. Mm-hmm. The last two episodes of the last serial were amazing. This serial was just kind of there. It repeated a lot of things that have happened a lot. It was your typical base under siege. The Cybermen didn't really do much. They could have been anything. Like, there was nothing specifically interest. There was nothing really interesting happening with them. They were just kind of there as a threat. And that was it. There was nothing really to do with them. Like, even like in Tomb of the Cybermen, you had like interesting stuff happening. But like, this one was just kind of there. The plot was way too convoluted. I don't entirely understand all of it. Did the Cybermen come over, or was it just Cybermats? But I will say that that effect of the Cybermen coming out of the egg was amazing. I love Zoe. Zoe's great. I'm excited about her. I don't care about the way people talk about her, but she seemed like a strong character, and I hope they keep up with her characterization and not, I hope they don't like turn her into, you know, the person who screams every episode. I hope she stays the way she is now, because like, I really liked her in this serial a lot. But this was not a greatly written serial.
And there's nothing particularly about it that feels like a finale.
Or a good episode.
Jeez.
There's way too many characters. You don't really get connected to any of them. They try to force you to connect to them in like these handful of scenes that, like the flirting scenes that I don't care about. There's characters that just come in only to die. That overactor guy, who the hell was that? Flanagan just randomly shows up in episode 5. Who are these people? Yeah. I don't care about anyone.
The small attempts that they do make at trying to make you emotionally connect to these characters don't really hit at all.
Even the characters that do get developed sort of just fizzle out. Jarvis starts off as, you know, your stereotypical naysayer, but like, he just sort of fades out and then dies, and you're just like, oh, okay, that just kind of happened. Or even like Gemma. I actually really like Gemma, but then she just dies, and then they just leave her body there. Nothing really, I don't know, it just seems like things just get dropped along the way. Like, there could have been some emotional stuff with Gemma, but it just is relegated to one scene and then they move on.
Like, even they had like, to kill like 5 other people.
Yeah, like Jamie and Zoe come in and find her dead body, and they're just like, oh, that sucks, and then move on.
Like, literally stepping over her.
We have 6 episodes of this. You can spend some time lingering on some things. I feel like that's a problem sometimes, especially with longer serials, is like, they will spend too much time on filler and not enough on, like, meat.
Yeah, dig into some emotional shit. You can do it. You
have the time.
Yeah.
Don't waste it on pointless stuff. And I feel like this is probably one of the worst serials this season, of just not really having any meat.
I will say that is something, as much as I really love, like, this era, I love Two and I love Jamie, and I think they're really great. There's a couple people who I follow on Tumblr who are doing rewatches, same thing. And they're in, like, Ian and Barbara era. There's a lot of stuff there as far as, like, those characters and, like, their emotions and them, like, dealing with the things that are happening that I miss sometimes in this era.
You really just have Jamie and the Doctor, really. Like, and when Jamie and the Doctor are going around, it's fantastic. But it's then fun. You sort of, there's scenes you have to have where other characters are doing things, and you're just like, this is not interesting. It's hard to connect to these characters that are just, I don't know, they don't have a lot going for them.
But I will say, it shows a lot of promise. I think this is going to be a good TARDIS group.
Scenes that concentrated on less characters worked better. The thing is, I think feel like there was way too many characters that you were supposed to be connected to, and you can't do it that quickly. I feel like with that many, or at least maybe you could, but just not the way it was done.
Yeah, it's doable. I don't know if there's enough of an effort made to, like, make you care, you know?
And then it may have worked better if we hadn't seen these tropes pulled out so many times.
Right, we know who these characters are. We know that's the guy who is not, that's like the leader, who's not going to listen to anything. He's going to get deposed. We already have the shorthand for everything that's going to happen. So there's no point in, like, becoming emotionally invested.
There's a lot of episodes that follow the same sort of formula in Doctor Who, but, like, every sort of... Yeah, I mean, but every... I feel like...
Writing sometimes is formulaic.
But I feel like even the more formulaic episodes will always have something that grabs your interest. But this one didn't have much else going for it.
It had Zoe, and we love her a lot. And, yeah, that's the serial.
I'm not even saying, like, this was necessarily a bad serial. It was just mostly there.
Yeah.
It was very middle of the road. I don't know, just kind of meh about this whole thing. Especially for a finale. Especially since we had such a good one last season.
Oh, yeah.
But if you liked the episode, check out more on WatchYourAssLine.com. Be sure to rate and comment on our iTunes. Please leave a comment on iTunes.
It really helps us out a lot. I will personally love you forever if you do it. So that's something that you probably need in your life.
And we'll probably share that review on our Tumblr page. Even if it's bad, I don't care. If you'd like to help us out even more, though, you can go to watchyourassline.com/support, and there you'll find a link to our Patreon page, which you can get to just by going to patreon.com/watchathon. And there you can donate a monthly amount to get all kinds of rewards, like videos of us watching the episodes, uncut video of the podcast records, and day early episodes. Also on our support page is a link to our Amazon wish list, where you can sponsor an episode of the podcast by purchasing the corresponding serial on DVD for us. We'll mention you in the podcast and put your name on our Friends of Rassilon page. It's pretty groovy. and that's it. But tune in next time when we talk about the season 6 premiere, The Dominators.
That sounds fancy.
I'm not sure if we're going to have a guest or not. We haven't gotten the guest situation figured out for the next couple seasons, but who knows? It's a surprise!
What a surprise to even us.
But we'll see you next time.
Bye!
Keep calm and wrestle on.
Well, at least you didn't think of X-rays. That would have been awful.